You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. We've got Mariner baseball coming up. We'll turn you over to the pregame show at the bottom of the hour. But right now we get a chance to talk to a man we love talking to. Good buddy of Dave Wyman, a friend of the program, the one, the only Mark Schlereth is here. Mark, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're all doing good. Baseball's underway. We've got football training camp starting. Before we get into football, I've got to ask you about something because we've had a debate on this show. Jim and I are on one side. Dave is on the other, and it centers around Joe Kelly plunking. Or he didn't plunk him, but he threw some message balls at the Astros and got suspended 8 games for it. Jim and I love it. Dave doesn't like it, and I know where you sit. But for the listeners that don't know, and for Dave that may not know, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love a little frontier justice. Now, Joe Kelly, I mean, it may come from a hypocritical spot because he won with the Boston Red Sox, who also. Yeah, also did a little bit of cheating on the way, but I think the 8 games is absolutely asinine. When you think about in baseball right now, every game counts as almost 3 games, 2.7 games in a 60-game season. So this is not like a starter missing one start. This is 8 games is the equivalent of almost a month of baseball, and you didn't even punish. You gave immunity to the players of the Houston Astros, so. I didn't mind seeing Bregman get squared up with 96. That was okay with me. So, but again, I'm the guy who had my 12-year-old son who threw like he was 16 at 12 years old. I'm the guy that said, "Hey, every now and again, you might want to brush a few kids back, and if you hit one, that's how I coached it." So I'm an ass that way. But the good news, guys, is I watched some Mariners. And Brian Shaw swore as he left town here in Colorado that it was only Coors Field that struck. So you guys should be in.
That guy was terrible last night.
Oh, that's right. I did. That's rubbing it in right there. Yeah. He blamed Coors Field. Apparently it wasn't Coors Field. It was him.
Yeah.
Well, this is all coming from a guy who broke his producer's rib in a takedown in a wrestling move. And so, And come on, man. I mean, you think it's okay. The guy's up there. Hey, how about this, Mark? This would be – here's how you get back, Adam. If you're a pitcher, just rush the plate. Instead of rushing the hitter rushing the mound, have the pitcher rush the plate and just, square the guy up with, like a form tackle or whatever. I mean, at least it's a little bit more forthright and honest than throwing at a guy, when he's standing there in the box in a prone position.
Yeah, probably, but a pitcher's not going to do that. I mean, they got a baseball. They've got a weapon in their hand. So, take it into your own hands. Remember when Nolan Ryan got rushed and –
Robin Ventura.
Yeah, Ventura. Right. I mean, you never know. Some of those pitchers are. Hey, listen, my son's a pitcher. He's touched a little bit. So, they throw at you, and then we'll see what happens. I love the whiny face. I love the pouty lip. I love that. I thought it was great. I love the fact that we used to have rivalries, and now all I see, Dave, is guys exchanging jerseys. I hate that. I can't wait. Like, freaking Odell Beckham Jr. runs across the field to give some freaking goat hair shoes to Tom Brady. I pray, like, in my vision of what happened is Tom Brady didn't even know who he was. But, hey, thanks, kid. And then he walked in the locker room and threw him in a trash can. Like, you know the whole process is I'm going to make goat hair shoes for Tom Brady? Like, you're into winning. You're into winning football games. Like that would be my whole. I hate watching guys walk across and sign jerseys and take them off. I just think it's ridiculous. So I like a little sports hate.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm with you on that one, Mark. I always say that I long for the days when we all hated each other, and you know there was no like you know going across and exchanging numbers and things like that. So, but
I remember going to a group when I was back with the Skins or back with the Washington Football Team, the Washington Football Club, whatever they're called now.
Right.
But we were a group of us went to Disney together, and so we're walking through like. Streets of Disney, and we saw a couple guys from the Cowboys, and we stayed on one side of the street, they stayed on the other side of the street, and we gave them the, hey, I recognize you, head nod, I'm a guy, you're a guy, but let's not cross the street and cross each other's paths. We literally did not go and talk to one another. It was a group of them and a group of us, and we just kept on our own side of the street. Like, that's how much you hated each other back then. It was way better. Just way better.
All right, Mark. Go ahead, Dave.
No, that's okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I was going to point out. I don't go on Twitter much, but I see that you're slinging some queso dip. If you go to the Ace Hardware on 104th and Federal, you're going to get some of Stink's. Your queso dip there. So, yeah, pretty cool. But also, you were online talking a little bit about Jamal Adams. Tell us about your thoughts, because you know we're hearing from Boomer Esiason that he's kind of a punk for saying all the things that he said and everything. But I felt like it got him out of town. What were your thoughts on him?
My thoughts are what is he supposed to do? Like, if you outplay your contract, so I guarantee you this about Jamal Adams. If he would have underperformed on that rookie deal, they would have either asked him to take a pay cut or they'd have cut him. And so when you go for multiple Pro Bowls and you're considered like a future Hall of Famer, you're playing that well, and you go to your organization and say, hey, listen, I would like to be, I'd like the contract that it is representative of what I've been doing on the football field. And they say to you, no. And you can't come to some type of agreement, and they won't agree to trade you. I don't know what other avenue. I mean, we saw it with Jalen Ramsey, and he got himself shipped out of Jacksonville. And I don't know what other avenue you have to explore other than to do it the way he did it. Now, think about this. Here is a guy that came into a league and has zero leverage because the league negotiated his deal in a league in which most careers, last 3.4 years, you're locked into a five-year deal that you can't get out of, and you're already slotted about the money, the amount of money you can make. And so, I mean, it's like this bar I used to go to when I was in college, when I go back to Alaska for the summer, called Chilcoot Charlie's, and their motto was where we cheat the other guy and pass the savings on to you. The people who negotiated, the players that negotiated that are currently NFL members, they negotiated a really crappy deal for the incoming rookies. You know why? Because they don't care about incoming rookies. The majority of guys, 50% of first rounders are busts anyhow, right? And they can't play a lick. And we actually, as players, resent them. Like, the guys who come in and can't play that you spent first round picks on, we resent those guys. So they gave guys like Jamal Adams a really crappy deal. And I just don't blame the kid for saying, no, I want something that represents my skill set. And if you're not willing to give it to me, I'm gonna piss and moan until I can get out of town.
I love that you brought up Chilcoot Charlie's. I remember going there when I was up in Anchorage there on Spinard Road. That was a fun spot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great spot. It's a really, really, really good clientele to hang out there. Really nice guy.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that too. What about the Seahawks end of things? Do you think they gave up too much for Jamal Adams?
Listen, I mean, I think that Pete Carroll, when it comes to defense and to secondary play, knows a hell of a lot more about that than I do. And, ultimately, listen, if the Jets hit on two first-round picks that become Hall of Fame potential players, then yes. But I've watched the Jets for the last 32 years, and you know what? probably not going to happen. They'll find a way to screw that up. So, no, you gave up draft picks for a guy who is a difference maker. And then when you look at that safety tandem that you've created, I mean, there may not be two smarter safeties in football. And you look at your ability to disguise with guys like that and play multiple different, you know, multiple things, and to be able to show two and fall into one or vice versa. I just think it gives you another option. The other thing is about the Seahawks is they're going to play, and you guys know this, they play a ton. They match up base to nickel a ton. It gives you freedom to get out of some of that and to feel confident in your ability to maybe play a little bit more nickel and have a guy like Jamal Adams, who's lined up at linebacker a bunch over the course of his career, to do some of those things for you. So I think from a versatility standpoint, it gives you a ton of different options as a defense. And so do I think they gave up too much? You know, I guess you could argue that, but no, I think you got a premier, you know, a premier all-pro player who is to me kind of positionless. He can be the deep safety, he can be the buzz safety, he can be an outside linebacker, he can line up a D end and rush the passer. I mean, he is a guy that's truly positionless, and I don't think there's a whole lot of those guys in the league.
Mark Schlereth is our guest here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle, and we were talking about his impact, Mark, on this defense, and you get a full year of Diggs, which they didn't have last year, just a handful of games, but you get a full season of him. You get Adams back there, and who knows if Dunbar is going to be able to play or not. We don't know what's going on with that. But just the idea of those additions for a full season, and even if Dunbar's not there, how much of an impact would you say? I mean, this is a defense that ranked, you know, 26th, 27th in every category you saw. They just were not a good defense. How much of an impact does he have in terms of, you know, giving the pass rushers more time to get to the quarterback because of his coverage skills, his ability to occupy space and really, you know, maybe shrink what the opposition may be able to do offensively?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. When you have a tandem of safeties like that where you can't pigeonhole any one guy into one thing, because Diggs is a phenomenal player, a very smart player. I've had an opportunity to talk to him several times doing Detroit games. He's a guy that I've always liked, that I've always respected the way he plays the game. But again, from a versatility standpoint, I think that's the important thing. Is as an offense, you know, as an offensive player, I always wanted to know the guys that could give us trouble, the guys that were, you know, that were a pain. And when you broke the huddle, there are certain guys that you have to kind of identify and try to figure out what they're doing. And when you have a guy that can play, like I said, multiple positions, it just makes it hard to designate what we're doing as an offense. So if one minute that guy is lined up as a deep safety, the next minute he's a buzz safety on the outside, the next minute he's playing linebacker, it really becomes a hard thing for us as an offense to go, okay, this is what they're in, or that's what they're doing. And for the quarterback, that makes it, you know, exceptionally difficult. And so, like, oftentimes those things don't come out in stat lines. That's why I hate it when guys, you know, just basically say, well, this guy's a better quarterback because his completion percentage is, you know, 67 or the other guy's is 63. And you're like, well, you know what? There's more to it than meets the eye. There's more to it than numbers can break down. And that's what a guy like Adams, who will put up numbers, but he just makes it tough on you as a defense to designate what exactly they're playing. And the more confusion you have, the more hesitation you play with, the worse you are as an offense.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, Mark, about some of the offensive linemen. So for the Seahawks here, and, you know, I'd argue, and you would too probably, that that's without a lot of practices, you know, that where they can have like 12 or 14 and, you know, that are in pads, it's going to be tough for O-lines to come together. I don't know what you think of Mike Solari. I think he's one of the better O-line coaches here, but how much is that going to have an effect? Is that the position group, do you think, that will probably struggle the most because of the lack of practices and off-season moves? And then for the Seahawks, quite a few new faces, including a new center.
Yeah, a lot of new faces. Obviously, continuity there is really important. And I don't know how much, you know, the kid from Pittsburgh at center, what's his name? Finney?
Yeah,
I don't know how much he's played in the past. I really don't know that kid. What's that? Has he?
No.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking to somebody in your background.
I just don't know how much that kid has played. I don't really know his background. Continuity is really important at that position, obviously. Playing together is really important at that position. You know, your ability to rely on one another and know what you're doing and understand all those calls. And like I said, the communication aspect of that is really important. So, I think that's one place in the NFL in general that has struggled. And I've talked to your general manager about that, you know, when I've done Seattle games, just about, continuity and about production and about nuance of that position and how, you know, I've talked with John about how, you know, the rules have really limited your ability. I've talked to Mike Solari about that as well. So, like, they're completely aware of it, but it's a, like, that's not just a Seattle. It's just not an endemic of it's endemic of the whole league. It's not just a Seattle issue. It's a league-wide issue with offensive line. So it is one of those things that is really, really difficult. And I'm with you. I think Mike is a phenomenal offensive line coach. So, but I think, you know, ultimately he has his work cut out for him. There's no question.
Well, defense has certainly been a bigger issue here in Seattle. And do you think the addition of Jamal Adams is enough to push the Seahawks over the top of San Francisco and, if not, get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think when you look at the 49ers, I think they're interesting because I think the way they have been built is they are reliant upon – they're very much like Seattle, obviously Robert Saleh – was a guy that coached there in Seattle and has brought over that kind of defensive system. But, you know, anytime they can line up at any time, they can line up five first-round draft choices on their defensive line. So from a rotational standpoint and a pressure standpoint, they have a phenomenal ability to really dominate a line of scrimmage. And when you can dominate a line of scrimmage, it makes playing that secondary a heck of a lot easier. If you're in your spots and you hit your spots, you're gonna create turnovers. And so, I wouldn't look at that. I think the Niners have done a really good job, and John Lynch has done a phenomenal job, and Kyle Shanahan of understanding what they want to be. And they have the ability to have two dominant fronts. They also went out and got Trent Williams for essentially nothing to play left tackle for them from Washington. So, I think it's going to be really hard to usurp them because, you know, obviously your quarterback is better. Your quarterback is a phenomenal player. But, I think from a complete team standpoint, the Niners are just more complete.
Mark, we were talking about the NFL's top 100 that gets unveiled on the, you know, NFL Network, and Russell Wilson comes in at number 2. First time he's cracked the top 10. Lamar Jackson is number 1. Patrick Mahomes is number 4. Any issues with the way they seeded those quarterbacks? How would you have done it?
I wouldn't, but this is a top 100 football player. I wouldn't have quarterbacks on my top 100 football player list.
Okay.
Those guys don't play football. They're allowed to avoid contact, to slide, to step out of bounds. Like, that's not like Lamar. I get Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson's, that dude's a freak show. Maybe, you know, maybe that guy is the one guy that breaks that mold of football player. But, yeah, I wouldn't allow my top 100. I don't allow a quarterback. So my number one player in the league is Aaron Donald, has been for forever. So that's where I would start. I would eliminate all the quarterbacks. They're a special breed, man. They do their own thing, but you know they wear pink jerseys during practice.
All right. If you had a quarterback,
how do we rate them as how do we rate anybody as, hey, this is the best football player in the league, and he gets to wear a pink jersey in practice? I no.
Okay, let's say you had a top 10 or top 20 quarterback list. Where? Give me those three, and how would you put those three in order? And throw in Deshaun Watson as well.
Yeah, I would. Okay, so I would go Mahomes because he is such an unbelievable talent. I would probably go Russell Wilson too, and then I'd start nitpicking. You know, I might go Aaron Rodgers, and then and then I might go like Deshaun Watson. I mean, again, from a quarterbacking standpoint, here's what I know about Lamar. Lamar is in the most unique offense in the National Football League that nobody's been able to figure out how to defend that. If they get behind, he is not bringing them back throwing the football. And we have seen that the last two times they've been in the playoffs. I know this about Patrick Mahomes. He can be down 24, and he can say, hey, we just have to score one time, and we're going to blow these guys out. Like, that's a different style. So, you know, I guess I have a different definition of the quarterback position. But Lamar is one of the most phenomenal. He's a great kid. He's just an absolute hoot to be around. He is dynamic. He is all those things. But that is one of the most unique situations. I call it a heavy spread, the way they run their offense. And it's giving defensive coordinators an absolute fit because it's not what you do historically, put your quarterback in harm's way and, you know, and make him a runner, really difficult to defend. And I figure that people are kind of huddled around right now trying to figure out how to get that done and how to defend that. And we'll see if they can do it and what ends up happening to the way that offense looks if they do, because eventually somebody's just going to say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give up that 15-yard pitch and that 30-yard pitch, and we're going to give up that, and what we're going to try to do is decapitate their quarterback, and then we'll see what happens. And I know, you can't say that anymore, but I like to say better late hit than never. So, like, that's how the NFL operates. I know we're not supposed to talk in reality, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, we got a hard out here because of Mariner baseball. I just wanted to tell everybody if it was up to Stink, there would be the top 100 would there be like 75 guards probably.
Yeah, you know. Quentin Nelson might usurp Aaron Donald as my number one. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point, Dave. Thank you.
Mark, we appreciate it, man.
Likewise. Take care, bud.
There you go. Bye-bye. Mark Schlereth, always fun to talk to him. We got Mariner baseball coming up tonight. Marco Gonzalez making his second start in the series finale against the Angels. First pitch at 6:40. Thanks to our guests Jeff Passan, John Clayton, and Mark Schlereth. If you missed any of it, head to 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then click on our picture. Everything you missed will be waiting for you right there. I'm off tomorrow and Monday, so you guys have fun tomorrow. Have fun on Monday. I'll see you on Tuesday. They'll be back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.